This morning our gospel lesson is taken from the gospel according to St. Luke, chapter 5, verses 27 through 32, where under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, Luke wrote these wonderful words of life, these words of grace, this good news of God's grace to us in Jesus for the healing of our souls. Luke chapter 5, beginning in verse 27. After this, he went out and saw a tax collector named Levi sitting at the tax booth. And he said to him, "Follow me." And leaving everything, he rose and followed him. And Levi made him a great feast in his house. And there was a large company of tax collectors and others reclining at table with them. And the Pharisees and their scribes grumbled at his disciples, saying, "Why do you eat and drink with tax collectors and sinners?" And Jesus answered them, "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God shall stand forever. Let's look to our God once again in prayer. Holy Spirit, on this day when the church around the world celebrates your first coming at Pentecost to give birth to the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, we do pray that you would come and be in this place, that you would fill the hearts of your people and kindle in us the fire of your love. We pray, Holy Spirit, that you would assure us in these sacred moments that Jesus still eats and drinks with sinners to change them by his grace. Jesus, we do earnestly pray that by your Spirit and through your means of grace, you would meet with us even now to show us your love and to transform us by your grace. To the glory of God our Father, through Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. Well, in last week's message, we saw that Jesus forgave sins, much to the chagrin of the Pharisees and scribes and the religious elite of his day. They called him a blasphemer for doing it, but Jesus forgave sins. He claimed to have the authority, divine authority, the authority of heaven to forgive sins, to wash away sins, to wipe away sins, to declare a sinner righteous in God's sight only through their faith in him. And we said that that was a wonderful window, a gospel window into the reality of heaven, that Jesus, now the ascended Jesus, continues to forgive the sins of all who place their faith in him. This morning, our consideration is much the same. In the episode before us, we see that in the days of his earthly sojourn, Jesus ate and drank with sinners, much to the chagrin of the religious elites of his day. This, too, is a window into what continues to happen today as the ascended Jesus reaches into the hearts and lives of sinners to heal them by his grace. In other words, Jesus still eats and drinks with sinners. We want to consider how he does that, but first let's consider that he did that during his earthly ministry. So in the first place this morning, Jesus ate and drank with sinners during his earthly ministry. Jesus had begun to call his first disciples, the apostles. Apostle means sent ones. But before he could send them out from himself. He had to draw them to himself that they would be with him and share a life of communion with him and be equipped to go out from him, ultimately in the power of his Holy Spirit, to continue and multiply his ministry of grace. Early in chapter 5, Luke told us about Jesus' call on the life of some fishermen named Simon, also known as Peter, James, and John, to become fishers of men. And they left their nets and they followed Jesus. Here, Jesus calls a tax collector named Levi. He said to Levi, follow me. And Levi also went by Matthew. He's the, later on, the writer of the gospel according to Matthew. Levi did just that. He left everything, rose up, and followed Jesus. He left a lucrative career to step into the unknown. And what he, in fact, perceived to be, he knew from the outset, in fact, that it would be a much less lucrative career, a much less lucrative vocation of following Jesus. Yet notice the first thing that he did, this man who leaves a lucrative career, to step into what would potentially be relative poverty in following Jesus. Notice the first thing that this man did. He threw a great feast for Jesus. Now, usually when somebody leaves a lucrative career and goes into a less lucrative career, or they lose their job or whatever, the first thing they do is they clamp down on their finances. But that's not what Levi did. He threw a great feast for Jesus. Levi followed his rejoicing, worshipful heart. It's like he couldn't help himself. And so he threw this extravagant party for Jesus, and not only for Jesus, but also for a large company, Luke tells us, of his fellow tax collectors and other friends, the people that the Pharisees called sinners. It was a beautiful celebration. This man had been touched by the grace of Jesus deep in his heart. And so he wanted his friends to experience the same thing. It was fantastic. But not everyone was happy about it. The Pharisees and their scribes grumbled at his disciples, saying, "Why do you eat and drink with tax collectors and sinners?" Do you notice a theme emerging here in the gospel according to Luke? You know, Jesus does this great thing, whether it's healing somebody, casting out a demon, forgiving somebody of their sins, and then grumbling ensues. It's sort of a picture of what continues to happen today, actually, when God penetrates the heart of a sinner by his grace, and religious people are almost offended by it. How could God draw near to and love such a person? There are two things that you can certainly say about the Gospels. Number one, we see Jesus constantly showing grace to sinners. And number two, we hear the Pharisees constantly grumbling about it. Now, the word for grumble here is like a low, irritating murmur. The constant droning of discontent or malcontent. That is what the Pharisees' response to grace was, until the grace touched their hearts, as in the case of Nicodemus or Saul of Tarsus. But until the grace of God touched their hearts, they grumbled about grace. It's very strange, but that is what happened. And Luke wanted us to notice this pattern of grace and grumbling. Later in Luke chapter 15, verses 1 and 2, he says, "Now the tax collectors and sinners were all drawing near to Jesus." They wanted what he was giving, namely grace. "But the Pharisees and the scribes grumbled, saying, this man receives sinners and eats with them. And in Luke 19:7, after an extravagantly rich chief tax collector named Zacchaeus hurried down from his sycamore tree and received Jesus joyfully into his home. I mean, his excitement is rejoicing. But Luke tells us that when the Pharisees saw it, they all grumbled. He has gone in to be the guest of a man who is a sinner. That is what was happening here in Levi's house. Jesus was showing grace. He was enjoying table fellowship with sinners, and the Pharisees were grumbling about it. The Jews in general, not just Pharisees, hated tax collectors like Levi because they were viewed as traitors to their own people. They colluded with the Roman government, and in most cases they collected more than they needed to collect. In other words, they were extortioners. Moreover, many of the Pharisees were envious of their wealth and influence. When you see somebody start doing wacky things, a lot of times it's envy. Why did they hate this so much? Envy. Why did they hate Jesus so much? Envy. So for all these reasons, the Pharisees and their scribes grumbled about the fact that Jesus, this supposedly holy man, would spend time with a man like Levi and his ilk. Jesus, hearing their whisper campaign against him, answered them, saying, "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. I have come not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." The gracious ministry of Jesus is for those who see their need of grace. The gracious ministry of Jesus is for those who see their need of grace. Those who see their need of grace receive that grace and rejoice in that grace. Those who don't see their need of grace grumble about that grace because it exposes their self-righteousness. Grace tells them that salvation is not by their self-focused, self-righteous deeds and supposed purity. It is by God's one-way love to us and for us in his self-sacrificing Son. In the bleeding and suffering and dying of his Son. Now, Jesus often demonstrated this grace. I mean, the cross is the ultimate demonstration of this grace. But he often demonstrated his grace, this one-way love of God for sinners, through table fellowship. Think of Jesus eating with his disciples on the eve of his crucifixion. Then, to be sure, he was eating and drinking with saints, those whom he had called and those who had followed him and those whom he had set apart to himself, but they were still sinners. They still sinned and fell short of the glory of God, and thus they needed grace. That very night in which Jesus knelt before them and washed their feet, they were arguing about who was the greatest among them. That very night, they would deny and forsake him. And he knew they were going to do it. He told them they were going to do it. Yet he ate and drank with them. He partook with them a feast of grace because he loved them. Because he knew that grace, his accepting, nurturing, grace was the only thing that could penetrate their hearts and make them into the men he had called them to be. And after his crucifixion and burial, on the day he was raised triumphantly from the dead, while they were still in a state of unbelief and thus crippling fear, what did he do? He came to them and he ate with them. His grace was made known to them in the breaking of bread. And later, you see how Jesus repeats himself to get his point across. Later on, at the Sea of Galilee, he had breakfast with them. And that is when he restored Peter, who had denied him. During the days of his earthly sojourn, Jesus ate and drank with sinners to reach out to them in love, restore them to God through the forgiveness of their sins, and to change them by his grace, calling them to repentance, calling them to faith, empowering that repentance and faith by his presence and his grace. And in the second place, the good news I proclaim to you today is that this same Jesus, now ascended at the right hand of God, continues to eat and drink with sinners. How does he do so today? Let me mention briefly three ways. First, through his people. Through his people. As we befriend, love, and are gracious towards those who don't yet know Jesus. Levi was a sinner who was touched by the grace of Jesus. So the first thing he did was introduce other sinners whom he knew and loved to Jesus. That was his first order of business. As it's been said, a saved man does not want to go to heaven alone. So he invited others to come meet this one who, this great physician who had healed his soul and who was healing his soul by his grace. He did not forget from whence he had come. And so he wanted others who were in misery because of the emptiness in their souls and the burden of their sin and the burden of what the Pharisees were teaching them, which is you get on the treadmill of good works. You know, the thing about a treadmill is you never pass the finish line. You just keep going and going and going. And that's salvation by works. Jesus comes and he hits the stop button on the treadmill. And he picks you up in his arms. And he says, I've done it all. You rest in me. That's what Levi wanted these people to know. The grace of Jesus. So we need to ask ourselves, are we being intentional about introducing other sinners to the grace of Jesus? Spending time with them, loving them. Being intentional about finding avenues in which to spend time with them and show them the love of Jesus. Show them the joy of Jesus. Show them the fellowship of Jesus. Are we intentional about that? Or, and this is easy to do, have we become entrenched in self-righteousness like the Pharisees. May Jesus use us to reach into the lives of others with his befriending, healing, transformative grace. A second way Jesus still eats with sinners is when sinners receive him by repentance and faith. He said in Revelation 3:20, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and eat with him, and he with me." This is a picture of close personal fellowship with Jesus, as if he were sitting with you over a meal, blessing you by his love. When you receive his grace, it is as if you are the Apostle John himself leaning his head on the bosom of Jesus at the Last Supper. May the door of our hearts be wide open to Jesus, individually and as a church. Wide open to Jesus and his gracious presence like that. And in a third way, Jesus still eats and drinks with sinners through the meal before us this morning. As Tim reminded us from Exodus 25, and yes, that's exactly what I had intended with the Old Testament reading, as that passage revealed, and as Tim emphasized, God has always lovingly made his presence known to his called, set apart, yet sinful people through a table and bread. In the Old Testament, through the bread of his presence in the sanctuary, and today through this bread and wine. By his Spirit, Jesus makes his gracious presence known here to all who sin and need a Savior, to all who are strangers and want fellowship. Your fellow sinners come and will eat with you here, as Jesus will meet with you here. And to all who hunger and thirst for righteousness, who say, "I don't want to continue in sin. I want victory over sin." Here is where you find that victory. This table is for saints, those who believe in Jesus. But it is for saints who confess with Levi and Zacchaeus and John that they are sinners, saved by grace and changed by grace. So let us come to this table rejoicing and giving thanks that Jesus still eats and drinks with sinners to assure us of his love and change us by his grace. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.